you got your Bibles, I want you to go to a familiar psalm. It's a shame that it's not read much in church anymore. It's only read at funerals. It actually isn't a funeral psalm. It's a Christian living psalm. Turn to Psalm 23, would you? I am starting a new series tonight. I would exhort you to come to every Sunday night for the next 7 Sunday nights. I exhort you to be here every Sunday night ever, but the next 7 you need to be here, and because you don't want to miss one of this series. And Psalm chapter number 23, you know it. I'm going to use one verse out of it. I'll be jumping around in this series, but I'm starting in Psalm 23. I'm going to read the first, I'll just read the whole chapter because it's such a good chapter, but I'm going to only use one thought and preach from a theme tonight, and I'll do that for 7 weeks. How many of you could probably name every sermon Richard Harper preached? Could you name every one he preached? I can. He preached 5 times. I will tell you the 2 that impact me the most. All 5 of them were wonderful. I wouldn't say he was less quality in one as he was the other. But Sunday night's message and Tuesday night's message absolutely touched my heart. And Tuesday night's message affected me so much that on prayer that I had this series, and timing is everything. So God just kind of put this series into that today. He preached on prayer. I'm going to preach a series entitled Living, listen carefully, Living by Faith. By the way, prayer's not very good if you don't have no faith. Living by faith in a culture of fear. If you really think about it right now, everything about our culture is based around fear. We just went through a presidential campaign. They spent probably close to $2 billion. How many positive minutes do you think? I want you to know almost everyone I heard was going against my grain and making me scared. There, one guy said, Granny's going off a cliff. And none of us are going to have Social Security or Medicare. Hello. The other side said, there's no hope for us. We're going into socialism. We're going to socialism. I mean, scaring the devil out of us. Am I telling the truth? Hey, listen to me. You're going to work tomorrow. You have no clue what your boss might say to you. He may call you into the office and say, we're cutting the inventory. We're cutting down on the people. We've got to get rid of you. You said that couldn't happen. You may go to the doctor tomorrow and just a routine checkup and find out you got cancer. Because, see, we're living in a culture of fear. And I want to talk about living by faith in a culture of fear. Look at Psalm 23 with me. I'll read it all. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I remember the little Sunday school girl kind of confused a little bit, but I like what she said. She said, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley, listen, of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'll stop there. His thought was, I will fear no evil, even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Living by faith in a culture of fear. Sermon number 1 tonight is life's fearful valleys. By the way, you're either about ready to go into one, or you're in one, or you're coming out of one. Let me tell you something. You might say, Preacher Smith, everything's rosy with me today. That's today. You may be plunged tomorrow in a big valley. I look back at the Lamont family. They've been my friends for years. Marie, you've been close to my wife and been a friend. My heart's been broke for y'all. I thought about your mama. She was a precious saint of God. You never thought you was going to have to face this. You knew in the back of your mind it's possible. She went home to be with Jesus. Her daddy needs prayer tomorrow. Now, Marie's not the kind to say a lot, but I know she's nervous, aren't you? Nod your little head at the preacher. She's nervous. He's going to have a biopsy tomorrow. And it's your way of thinking and it's my way of thinking. We think the worst. First thing we're going to think of, the worst. And the old devil, he kind of magnifies that in. Somebody say amen right there. See, there's two kinds of fear. There's a negative fear and a positive fear. By the way, positive fear is a pretty good thing. It's a positive thing to fear. By the way, I'm not going to go skiing with you. Because, see, I got enough sense to fear getting up there on some skis or even my feet without skis. I'm not going. I'm sorry. And by the way, I'm not going to go to a church and handle snakes. And we ain't going to have no snakes. I may shout around a little bit, but I ain't bringing no rattlers in here. Let me ask you, anybody ever been to a church that had snakes? Raise your hand. Anybody here? One, two, three, four. Over in Boone County, wasn't you? I know you were, and I know the church you went to because I preached in a Baptist church right up the road from it. Uh-huh. I went to a snake handling church one time with a girl. I was 18 years old, crazy with a jar fly. And I went with this pretty girl. Well, boy, she was pretty. Ain't pretty as you, Marguerite. But she was pretty. And she invited me to go to church up on Woolpen. First thing you do, don't go to church on Woolpen. You're crazy if you go to church up there. But it was up on the hill. Under God, it was up on the hill. And I was back there about three quarters away. And I saw these guys, these special guys, coming out with these boxes. Uh-huh. And I heard something rattling. I asked her, I said, what is that? She said, that's a rattlesnake. She said, they got rattlesnakes and copperheads in there. I said, what are they going to do with them? She said, if they got enough faith tonight, they're going to pull them out and handle them. I said, I ain't going to be here. I said, do you think they really are going to do that? And I saw one of them deacons. How many deacons moved did Dave handle snakes next Sunday? So one of them deacons get that box and he's starting to open. The preacher said, not tonight. I don't believe the Spirit of God's here. I'm going like, hallelujah. I said, praise God. And I wasn't even a Christian. By the way, you're a smart man if you're afraid to stand. And by the way, I'm also smart enough to evacuate if there's going to be a hurricane come to Florida. That's a real smart fear. But see, that's not the fear that I'm talking about tonight. The Bible talks about the spirit of fear. A paralyzing fear. You know what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a spirit of sound mind. Now, I want you to know something, friend. I need that. You said, I don't need it. I need that. We're living in peerless times. We're living in frightening times. I want you to know they stop going in my head, scaring me half to death. I need God to help me. Yeah. Praise God. This valley, by the way, you people been to Israel? This is a literal valley in Israel called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. It is a place where the sun hardly shines. It is a place in the summertime where the shepherd will actually take his sheep down in that valley because all that green grass has done burn up. And he'll go down in that lust valley. But the danger of it is there's mountain lions and there are all kinds of animals. And there's a lot of fearful things in that valley. Though there's lush grass because there's not much sun. And there's not much of it burning up. And it was a literal valley. By the way, whether we like it or not, we're living in dangerous times. Real troublesome times. I don't know if y'all, how many knows what a phobia is? Raise your hand. A phobia is a fear. I did not know this until this week. Do you know they have an internet site? An internet site that's dedicated to phobias? Get on there and Google it tonight. Phobia internet. Did you know that? They do. Thousands of them. I went in and read a few of them. Betty, this is yours. Dentophobia. You know what that is? That's the fear of a dentist. Me. Oh, listen to this one. Ecclesiophobia. That's the fear of church. And some of y'all have that. Oh, listen to this. Oh, I'm not done. Homiliophobia. That's a fear of sermons. Oh, here's one. Pythriophobia. That's a fear of mother-in-laws. Claustrophobia. How many of y'all have claustrophobia and didn't know it until something happened? Raise your hand. I'm not near as big as I used to be. I've lost 140 pounds. So just think, Jeff was reminding me how big I was the other day. He said, you got a picture there. And I went and looked at it. Oh, I didn't realize I was that big. But I had a nerve going wrong in my neck. And they sent me down to Huntington to get me an MRI. Now, MRIs for people about 350 ain't real good anywhere. But if I got the big open one, they slide me up under there. I'm still real good. Then it went on. And my face was right up against the thing and my belly was touching the top of it. And it started. I said, let me out. I did. They let me out, and I said, time out, give me a cup of water. I took two bags, drink water, put me back in there. I mean to tell you, I found out I had claustrophobia. That scared me half to death. I thought I was dying. Here's what some of you boys have. You got acrophobia. You know what that is? Grant, you know what that is? That's a fear of work. Find something funny? Then this one, glossophobia. I'll end with that one. I had this. It scares me. I'm a preacher of the gospel. Been preaching for 40 years. First time I got up to preach scared me half to death. A glossophobia is the fear of public speaking. Any of y'all that does public speaking, you know it's fearful. And I got up preaching the first time. I had 14 pages of notes and preached 7 minutes and 14 seconds. Scared half to death. Let me give you 3 things. Number one, the fact of life's fiery valleys. Whether you want to say this or not, there's going to be times you're going to be discouraged. There are going to be some times you get depressed. There are going to be some times you are disappointed. There are going to be some times that you have doubt. There is going to be times that you have darkness. Let me give you 4 things. Life's fearful valleys. Number one, write this down. They're always inconvenient. You ever had a flat tire at a convenient time? You ever had a physical problem at a convenient time? You ever had a divorce, seen a divorce at a convenient time? You ever seen a pink slip at a convenient time? I want you to know life's valleys are inconvenient. Number two, life's valleys are impartial. Now, I want you to know something. Some of you in here right now, you're going sky high in your life. You right now, you right at the top. You feel like there ain't nothing can go wrong ever. Life's valleys are impartial. It rains on the just and the unjust. Number three, I like this. Life's valleys are impermanent. In other words, they don't last forever. Have you ever went through something you just said, this ain't going to end? I mean, I have. This ain't going to end. I'm ready to jump ship. It ain't going to end. God, it ain't going to end. But it ends. Thank God. Then, number four, they're instructional. I will give you some pastoral advice, from advice for someone that has some experience. If you're going through a valley, God's trying to teach you something. You may say it ain't, but no, He is. He's trying to teach you something. I asked Him every day when I'm going through a valley, what are you trying to show me? You showing me something? What are you trying to show me? What's this all about? That ought to be happening to that other guy. Why? And by the way, some people will tell you it's wrong to say why. But ladies and gentlemen, you're looking at 1 6-foot-5 preacher that believes it's not wrong to say why. God's bigger than that. God's got more power than that. He ain't upset about a little whiny why. Every once in a while I do it. Sometimes I can't help it. Sometimes I feel, I get in a fearful valley. I'm afraid this is it. I'm done. I'm toast. It's over. But He's teaching me something. I told my wife one day, I don't know what it was about. I just looked at her, tears running down my face. I said, this can't be for nothing. This just can't be for nothing. I mean, sometimes I go to Jared for counseling. And I say, this can't be for nothing. Or He'll come to me. If you're going through a valley tonight, it is not for nothing. There is a purpose. There is a divine plan. I don't understand it, but God does. Number two, I really wanted to get point three because that's actually the message. The foe in life's fearful valley. Make no doubt about what I'm about to say. Our enemy is the devil. Our foe is Satan. He said that he's our adversary. Beware of your adversary, the devil, who's walking around seeking whom he may devour. You say, well, he ain't after you. Oh, yeah, he is. He's after you, too. He's after you. How many people in this room saved? Raise your hand if you know you're saved. He's after you, Mom. He's after you, Dad. He's after you, Grandpa. You said, mean Grandpa? Yes! David, who wrote this psalm, I'll give you four or five quick valleys he went through. First of all, he went through the valley of separation. Psalm 13:1. He thought God had forsaken him. Loneliness. Isolation. Can I tell y'all what I don't like about pastoring? Can I? I got to tell you what I don't like about it. I like most everything about it. But this part I don't like. It is lonely once in a while. It isolates you once in a while. There's things that I can't even tell a deacon. There's things I can't tell another. I can't even tell my wife. Now listen, I am old school. I don't know if you are or not. But if somebody comes to you in confidence, you ought to keep it confident. Now, you say, have you ever broke your rules? Probably. But I've learned better. If it ever is done in confidence, you better keep confidence because people trust you. But that's lonely. That bears on somebody. We got 1,000 people. What if 100 of them come a month? Or what if 30 of them come? That's a whole lot. You know, I'm being a little transparent. It's hard to have friends and be a preacher. It's hard to have friends and not be a preacher. You never know who you can trust. David went through the valley of separation. Then he went through the valley of slander. Remember when he faced Goliath? I want to tell you something. It ain't never good when somebody slanders you. Ain't nobody in this room, don't you tell me that you appreciate being slandered. Ain't nobody appreciates that. Ain't nobody likes to be talked ugly about. Ain't nobody needs to have to explain to your children why adults act the way they do. Somebody help me preach. The valley of slander. Somebody called me the other day, and he's a preacher, and they gossip just like everybody. He wanted to call me and be the first one to tell me somebody fell. It's just one of those days I wasn't ready to be listening to John Clark Kent. Because I did something he wasn't ready for. I said, instead of you bragging about him falling, that's how about me and you join in prayer for him. Lest we fall. My God, have mercy. You just look at the pastor and say, boy, he's got faults. Ask Margaret. She knows every one of them. But I want you to know something. You got them too. And we can sit around picking at each other. And listen to me. Slandering somebody's not good. But you might have to go through that valley of slander. Hey, some of you parents, listen to me. I'll tell you the roughest thing you're going to ever face in your life is when somebody slanders one of your kids. They say something untrue about one of your kids. Or somebody says something untrue about your wife. I have to be honest with you. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. I'm not going to lie about it. I am not spiritual enough to take that. If you slander my wife, they'll probably have a church vote Sunday. Because I'm knocking the lights out. I chose to do that. Ain't going to happen. Go ahead and slander me. Go ahead and talk ugly about me. But you better not talk about me. Well, she can take, she'll shoot you. And then number four, the valley of sickness. Sin and then sickness. I don't want to miss sin. We walk through the valley. Some of you say, I don't sin. Oh, we all sin. And then sickness. Boy, I tell you what, when you go through things and then you get sick on top of it, boy, it's a valley. By the way, some of y'all been asking about this. I'm thinking about stuff as I preach. Craig Edwards' books came in on depression. If you want that book, it's $5 and call Cindy. It just come to my mind. It's a great book. I've read it. It's just about that thick. I've read it 6 times. Here's a preacher that has been depressed since 1993. And sometimes we get depressed. And we feel like, man, we're too proud to be telling somebody we're depressed. Well, you better tell somebody. Tell God, tell somebody, because you don't want it to go unchecked. And boy, he gives a good book from a preacher that helps other people not to feel so bad about themselves when they're going through something like that. And then the valley of sorrow. Some of you say, well, I know what Clifford McKay went through when he lost Pauline. I won't tell you, Clifford. I don't. And I hope I don't. I just soon won't be going first. I pray for you every day. I pray for our widows and widows every day. How many think we ought to? Maria, I don't know what you're going through. Your mama went home to be with the Lord. My dad has. My mama's still living. She's the one praying me into heaven. Valley of sorrow. Lastly, I'm done, and this is actually the sermon in 8 minutes. The faith of life's valleys. Look at verse 4, and I'll be done. When that guy preached about prayer the other night, how many of y'all got under conviction? I'm raising my hand. Well, I don't want you to raise your hand. But how about your faith tonight? How well is it? Because see, you're going to go through some fearful times. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Right? Point number one, acknowledge God's presence. Thou art with me. These people that says they can do without God, they don't need God. Jesse Ventura talked about how weak we are as Christians. I want to tell that sap head, I am weak. He's not only my wheelchair, he's my hospital bed. He's everything to me. I wouldn't make it if it wasn't for the presence of Almighty God. Thank God, he said, thou art with me. When you don't know if anybody's with you. When you don't have a friend. Ain't nobody called you for a month. Ain't nobody checked on you. Nobody even knows you're hurting. Or somebody does. Hey, somebody does. His name is Jesus. And then number two, appropriate God's promises. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Jared, I'm going to use you to get down on the floor a little bit. I don't have a staff. Just kind of sit down. That's good. Right there, that's fine. Just imagine him being a sheep. Slipped over a hill a little bit, about 3 feet. And I'm the shepherd. And I got a staff, and that staff has a round neck on it and a straight. And I put that round neck under his foot. Him, and I nudge him up toward me, and I lift him up, and I bring him to safety. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God said, I promise you, I ain't going to say you won't fall. But you won't be early cast down. I promise you when you fall, I'm going to stick my staff down there. Now, you're in a crevice, aren't you, John, boy? John David, you're hurting, ain't you? John David, you're going through something you never went before. But I tell you, son, I loved you. I called you. You're my boy. I don't know I'm your boy. You're my boy. I'm your shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I died for you. I'm the great shepherd. I rose for you. John, I'm the chief shepherd. I'm coming after you. Hold on, boy. Give me, Jesus. And he gently pulls me up. Woo! And he promised he'd never leave me nor forsake me. He promised he'd go all the way. Oh, God, I need that tonight. And lastly, and I'm done. Pretty good verse, ain't Jared? Look at it. I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Assume God's power, His rod comforts. When the children of Israel, hey, do you know that song by heart? My wife's favorite song. Or is it on the tapes back there? Be still and see the salvation of God. Stand still. Can you do it? Can you do that other one? Got any rivers? Thank you. When the children of Israel came to the Red Sea, Moses had a rod. And this, I'm about ready to shout about what I'm saying. I read this, me and Jerry was talking about it on a Monday. He said he never saw that before, and I didn't either. But he put his rod out, and the waters heaped up. And Marguerite said, we was talking about the second time when they went to Jordan, they went across some dry ground there too. But what really thrilled my soul, listen to this. You want to know how much power God had? God stayed up all night. While you're sleeping and a nervous wreck, God's up. And He doesn't slumber nor sleep. And He's holding that wall of water up. And they just keep on walking through. I will tell you what. I'll be honest with you. There have been some moments in the last few weeks and months that I'm just about ready to fold tent. I'll be honest with you. He said, what's kept you from building? The only thing I know. I mean, I could have done this morning. I could have done it last week. The only thing stopped me. He said, got a hand of power. Amen. Amen. Hey, some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have thought about quitting on your family. Some of you have thought about quitting on your faith. Some of you thought, oh, listen to me, you have. But see, you've got a God that has power. That when you just about get ready to fall and fumble the ball, He's there to lift you up and comfort you with His rod of power. If He could feed that bunch for 40 years. And by the way, just listen to this fact, and I'm going to let you go home. This makes me want to shout. If they drank 1 gallon of water a day, drinking and cleaning per person, it would take 29 wells of water pumping 1,000 gallons an hour to have enough water to give them drink. And it did not cause God one bit of strain. Heads bowed. How many tonight with an uplifted hand say, preacher, I'm in a valley. Preacher, I'm not sure I've got the faith that I need. And you're not looking up this way, but I'm raising my hand that you pray for me. How many right now, it just seems like the devil's had open season on you. You're frightened. You got fear about maybe not fear about yourself, somebody else. Raise your hand. Sip them up all over the house and say, pray for me. Sip them up all. Don't be ashamed to sip them up. God bless you. I'll tell you what you do. Won't you just come up and take those last three little points and apply them to your life that you'll have the faith that when you pray, you'll know it'll get answered. That you have the faith that you, when you need something for God, you know it'll happen. Because I want to tell you, if we don't get it, we're going to sink. We're going to sink. Stand with me. If you need to pray like I do, you come.